Tom, we need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting business leaders in our area. Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Ferritech. Ferritech, great people, remarkable service.
And speaking of great people, we've got some great people here in the studio. Welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I am merely Mike Salmond alongside the great Stephen Julian from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio. Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, Mike. Speaking of the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios, which we are sitting in, did you know that love is what makes a Subaru? And did you know that you can get big savings and enjoy a hassle-free experience? Did you know that Subaru of Gwinnett is where people sell cars? And did you know that you can visit SubaruofGwinnett.com and join their family today? You can come in and see the difference. Maybe you are already a Subaruist, then you can follow Subaru of Gwinnett Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events. Don't you love Subaru?
We do love Subaru, and apparently, Stephen, they love us. They are back for another year.
Fantastic.
As a studio sponsor of Business Radio X.
So we are thrilled to be sitting in the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios.
Absolutely, and we'll be doing it for another 365 days at least.
You know what else we're thrilled about? We're thrilled about three guests that we have today.
Oh, I forgot they were here.
No, you said they were great at the beginning. Okay, all right. Turn the page, start over. Fresh start, Mike. Fresh start.
The guests include from N2 Publishing, Brian McClellan, who, by the way, goes by Bam.
Or Brian.
Or Brian. Or Mr. McCullen. Or McClellan, McClellan. Or whatever.
Move on. Turn the page. Fresh start, Mike.
John Moss with Interactive Business Technologies. We'll all find out about his company soon. He's actually the president of the company, so behave down there, Stephen. And Stephanie Wolf is a certified health coach with The Whole Food Health Coach. The Whole Food. Not just part of it, but the whole food.
I like it.
So that's all coming up. But we're going to start with Bam. Brian McClellan with N2 Publishing. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Mike.
Great to have you here in the studio, in the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio, by the way. Tell us about N2 Publishing. What is that?
N2 Publishing is the nation's leading provider of newsletters for affluent communities. So we work directly with places here in Atlanta, Atlanta area, places like Chateau Alon, Country Club of the South, Laurel Springs, The Manor, and we work directly with the residents to provide their private newsletters. So they send us pictures of kids and their pets and their events, everything that is important to them. And we get to tell a whole lot of good news every month with all these neighborhoods. So it's a lot of fun for us to do.
I want to be clear, too, because we use the term newsletter and people think, okay, it's something that you make copies of and it's maybe two or three pages. This is a nice polished publication. I mean, to me, it's a magazine.
Yeah, well, it is. Newsletter is what we call it because that's the way that the residents connect with it. It is their newsletter, whether it's Xeroxed or whether it's something like ours, which is a little people magazine for the neighborhood, really four color, glossy, very high quality. It is a connection that the residents have with the publication. And we're very proud of what we do.
Company, tell us about the company itself. How long has it been around? And then in your role, because you're an area director, so you kind of have one specific area.
Right, sure. So the company is based in North Carolina. We have 800 publications nationwide. We operate in all 50 states. So we've been doing this for a while. We founded the company in 2004. So we're past the point of experimentation. We know what works really well for our residents. We know what works really well for our sponsors, the businesses that partner with us as well. So all of our production, all of our ad design, everything happens in North Carolina. But we have, just as you mentioned, very high quality publications that our residents love to death. They contribute in and they collect. I mean, it was funny. We had one of our residents in one of our neighborhoods in Suwannee. Her dog ate October, November, and December issues. So they ate them. And her kid wasn't in it. Her family had not been in it. But she valued the publication that much that he called us up and asked us to replace them. And of course, we did. Because they like them that much. It's pretty gratifying for us to hear stories like that.
So, and to finish off the story, Stephen, they put the dog down after that.
Dog got a lot of fiber in his diet. Brian, talk about your area. Talk about the neighborhoods that you currently serve. You mentioned Suwannee. So just kind of talk about that. Right. And then also, talk about maybe some of the areas you guys are moving into as well. So okay. Present and future
when it comes to
the neighborhoods.
So Atlanta, we've been in the Atlanta market for about 4 years now. Chateau Lawn was the first publication that we had here. We have 26 here in Atlanta, all over Gwinnett. So we've got a couple in Suwanee, Laurel Springs, and Rivermore Park. Chateau Lawn, of course. In Alpharetta, we've got Y Columns, the Manor Country Club of the South, a number inside the perimeter. And then south of the city, we have 5 in Peachtree City. On the west side, we have 1 in Marietta as well. There are probably 60 to 80 neighborhoods that we will ultimately have in this market. And that really mirrors the company's growth. Last year at this time, our company had about 500 to 550 publications, and we added about 250 last year. So 1 for almost every business day last year. So it's explosive growth because both the residents really love what we're doing and the sponsors do as well.
So talk a little bit about the sponsors. Obviously, the top of the list, the first thing that comes to my mind is, if I want, as customers or clients, the people that live in those communities, this would be a great way to reach them. So kind of give that little pitch to the sponsors.
What makes what we do different really than any other form of advertising is a couple different things. One is the content, because it is provided by the residents, about the residents, for the residents, they've got an intimate connection with it and they read it from cover to cover. So our sponsors are able to borrow that trusted relationship that we already have with the residents, right? They're already sending us pictures of their kids. They're already sending us pictures of the insides of their homes. In addition, we have events that we hold for each neighborhood on a regular basis. So the same people that are the same sponsors that are putting their ad in a publication have the opportunity to meet with the same people that are seeing their ad on a monthly basis. So they're more than just an ad on a page. They become a friend of the family.
Can you give an example of an event? Because I think sometimes people would think, oh, an event, you mean you've got a trade show where I get to set up a table. I'm assuming, like the neighborhood, this is personal.
Right. Very much so. So, for example, we've got one coming up in our Suwanee neighborhood, Rivermore Park, where we're meeting at Bonefish Grill. Now, everybody, well, if you're from this area, everybody seems to love Bonefish Grill. I know our residents, we had 4 or 5 times as many RSVPs as we had spots. So we have this event, and we'll invite a couple of our business partners as well. And they're there as friends of the family. It's not a trade show. They're not handing out business cards. They're there as Mike or there is Steve. And what we like about our events is we get to make heroes of our sponsors as well, because the publications are coming on their dime, right? So they come in, and we get to say to the residents, if you love the publication, which we know you do, and if you love events like this, which we know you do, you have Mike or you have Steve to thank for that, because they are the ones that foot the bill for this. When we started doing events, when the company started doing events 12 years ago, we knew the businesses wanted to meet the residents. We knew the residents wanted to meet each other. And that's kind of one of the things we've lost over time, the residents knowing each other. We drive into our houses and we put the garage door down, and that's the end of it. But you know, this brings the residents together. But we didn't know how much the residents wanted to meet the businesses. They do want to put a name to a face, and they do want to thank folks that are giving them this publication that they like so much. So again, it's an amazing thing to see that connection being built, and we're able to do that with a publication.
Our guest is Brian McClellan with N2 Publishing. He's the area director. And I think one of the value propositions that you offer is it's a long shelf life for the magazine, because it is so personal. It's about, perhaps you might be in that magazine, and I'm going to call it a magazine because I feel like newsletter just doesn't give you enough credit. You know, your neighbors, people you know, people you associate with that, you know, you already mentioned one person wants to keep all of them. They collect them. Mm-hmm. So it has a long shelf life, which gives more value to the sponsors as well.
It's not unusual for us to walk into one of our homes and see 4, 5, 6 of them sitting on the coffee table. They are designed as well to be referenced. So not only would you have the articles about a child or about a family, but you would have what would be reference material to the neighborhood, like a babysitting list, like important numbers for the neighborhood, like the local events for that month. So it's a reason for residents to come back to the magazine over and over and over again. Of course, that's a benefit to the sponsor, because that ad is potentially seen over and over and over again. And another one of the things that we love about doing the magazines that we do is an opportunity to make a difference in the communities that we're in as well. So a lot of our magazines have what we would call a volunteer spotlight article, which is just highlighting residents that live in that neighborhood that are making a difference in the community. And in you know, again, in one of our neighborhoods, in one of our Suwannee neighborhoods, we highlight local charities that the residents are involved with. And one of those charities, one of the women one of the families that was the subject of the article, called us 2 days after the publications hit the mailbox and told us that one of her neighbors called her and made a donation in her name to that charity because they read the article. And that's something that we're so very proud to be able to do things like that.
I had a chance to yesterday flip through one of the magazines for Rivermore. Mm. And what I really thought was really cool was one of the sections actually highlights one of the homes. You actually go behind the doors and see the homes. So you feel like, you know, I always wonder, you know, that house down the street is really nice. You actually can see, you know, what it looks like, all the rooms and so forth, how it's decorated. So that was pretty cool. So a lot of neat things. Great magazine. Again, newsletter. I'm sorry, Brian. do each of them have names? Do they have names for the magazines?
Right,
do the people
right.
get to name their newsletter?
The magazines are named with association, meaning that it's something that would make sense and be relevant to that neighborhood. And one of the things that's great that the structure of the magazines are similar neighborhood to neighborhood, but the nature of them is going to be very different. I mean, for example, some of the neighborhoods are older homes with people who have been there for 20 and 25 years, and their activities are different. So that's what is highlighted in the magazine. You've got other neighborhoods that are that may be younger, that may be a lot of young kids swimming and tennis and that sort of thing. So you can see the differences in the magazine, and they very quickly take on the nature of the neighborhood. Oh, by the way, because the residents are writing the article. So they're writing about what is interesting to them, and it makes the magazine very personal to each neighborhood.
So I was going to ask you, you mentioned the residents are kind of contributing and writing. How does a newsletter, and I'll call it a newsletter.
Okay.
How does that, I mean, is some of that coming out of headquarters and kind of there's some templates to work from, or is the content completely dependent on the neighborhood?
The content, when you look at one of our magazines, most everything you see is something that is
now he's calling it magazine.
Hey, he was making a good point. I know you're right, Mike. It can be called a magazine/newsletter /fantastic publication. Go ahead.
All of that. But it is really driven by what's interesting to the residents. And that's one of the things we love. There's information there. Most of it, 95% of it is not anything that you could get anywhere else. You know, it's not full of finance 101 or health 101 or things that could be pulled from the internet. It is, this is the story of this family, of this child, of this event that we had for the residents specifically. So everything in it is about that neighborhood. And that's part of the reason why a neighborhood will engage with it so much, because it's something that they can't get anywhere else. So it's not unusual for our magazines, our newsletters, to be anticipated by the residents, right? They're waiting for them. When they don't, you know, heaven forbid, when we have an issue with the mail, they're mailed directly to them. We hear about that. And now in the moment, that's kind of a headache. But in retrospect, you think they're reading it. They're missing it when it's gone. So it really speaks to how it's become part of the fabric of a community when we come into one.
A valuable resource, a appointment reading, if you, I mean, that's fantastic. And some of it's exciting, some of it's fun, but some of it's, I loved your concept of here's a list of babysitters, here's a list of, you know, stuff that you need from the neighborhood. I mean, right.
And that's
sign me up.
That's something that come, a lot of these ideas come directly from the residents. We had a family that was new to the neighborhood, just it had an infant and had a 3 or 4 year old, I believe, and just asked the question, how would I find a babysitter in this neighborhood? Well, that magazine had the solution.
It's a monthly magazine, comes out amazing. So 12 times a year. And I you talked about the sponsors and the advertisers. It's not a one-off thing where you do it 1 month. I mean, you talked to me yesterday about it being more of a relationship where these people, the residents, know that these are companies that are really supporting the neighborhood.
Right, exactly. And we really want businesses who want to be a part of the neighborhood. It's not someone who wants to come in and make a relationship or two and leave. We're really making the sale
and you never see them again.
Exactly. We're not looking for, you know, of course we wouldn't sign an agreement this long, but we're looking for people who want to be in this neighborhood for 10 years, for 15 years, no matter what the neighborhood was. We just happen to start with something shorter than that.
Well, Brian, our listeners are business owners and business leaders, and if they're interested in knowing more about your publication, where can they go find this information?
Okay. So if they wanted to contact me directly, they can, well, my name again is Brian McClellan. They can reach me at 404-937-0255 or an email. They can email to Brian, B-R-I-A-N dot M-C-C-L-E-L-L-A-N at N, the letter N, the number 2, P-U-B.com. Or they can look at the company's website to get a better feel for what we do. And that is www.n, again, the number 2, P-U-B.com.
What about somebody that's thinking, I'd love to have one of these magazines in my neighborhood. Can they reach out to you to maybe get that ball rolling?
Yeah, absolutely. And I can have that discussion with them and then either handle it myself or point them in the right direction.
Because business owners live in neighborhoods too, Mike. So that's what I'm thinking. You know, the business owners who want to advertise in the business, excuse me, be a sponsor. And the business owners who say, hey, where I live, that would be great. I mean, what a great, absolute necessary resource.
Brian, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
No, thank you for having me.
All right. Brian McClellan with N2 Publishing.
Mike, speaking of necessary resources, behind you, we have a beautiful view of the Subaru of Gwinnett studio wall.
I'll take your word for it because I'm looking at you.
Oh,
it's behind me, huh?
It is. It is.
Oh, there it is.
Did you know that that was created by Speed Pro Imaging? Speed Pro Imaging in Marietta helps businesses stand out by providing high quality large graphics. If you can imagine it, they can make it. As the industry leader for large scale printing, they deliver impactful images that share a message, attract attention, and reinforce your brand. To find out more, visit speedpromarietta.com.
Well done, Stephen. Our next guest here on Gwinnett Business Radio from Interactive Business Technologies, Mr. John Moss. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How you doing?
Doing good. An IT company, Interactive Business Technologies. Give us a kind of a broad view of what your company does.
Broad view would be we actually help our customers use their technology better. And I say that because of the fact that I think that most small businesses, even some of the medium businesses, go out and buy technology and they just start working. I mean, so we actually go into a customer's office and just doing a consultation just to make sure they're using their stuff better. I think one of the buzzwords now that all the IT guys are using, we're managed services providers, but I kind of just like to say I'm a partner for my company. You know, so, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, when you walk in the door in the morning and you push that power button, it comes on, it works, you can continue what you got to do. Because of the fact that 70% of our calls are someone can't work on a document except the web or print. So, you know, if you can't do one of those things, I don't care if you're, you know, a one-man shop or you're CNN, you can't operate. I mean, those are the major components that you do for your business.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're so tied to our technology these days that if the computer goes down, I mean, the whole business can't work anymore. So to have a partner, as you call it, and you said, did you say managed IT services?
It's called managed services provider. So I'm basically, you know, we're managing the services in your business. We're making sure that those little things that you just don't think about. I mean, I kind of try and call it an oil change because, I mean, we sit in front of our computers every day and we just push that power button and we expect it to go. But we don't realize that that computer has a hard drive. It has, it spins just like that engine in your car, and it needs an oil change. It needs to be cleaned out. It needs to be inspected. It needs to make sure that it operates, you know, the way you want it to. Because when it shuts down, the most important thing in your computer is that data. I mean, that data is more expensive than the actual computer itself because, you know, that's your life's blood. It's your QuickBooks files. It's your pictures. It's all the documents and your customers' documents and your customers' information. So, you know, if you push that power button and it doesn't come on, there's a problem. And it's not just your problem. It might be your customer's problem because they may, if you're an accountant, they may call you and say, hey, I need my taxes from 2013. You can't be like, oh, we lost that stuff.
Wait, that answer doesn't work with the IRS?
It doesn't work with the IRS, and it definitely doesn't work with the customer. So, you know, we offer things like backup. No one backs up their PC. I mean, I had a customer out of Bluffington, South Carolina, that called me and said, my computer didn't come on. I have my Department of Agriculture. I have my QuickBooks. What do I do? And the first thing I asked her is, have you backed up your PC? And she chuckled. She said no. And the second thing she says, I know. I get those emails from you guys and about backing up our computer. We were going to sign up, you know, this month, but we just couldn't do it. And, you know, long story short, we ended up taking her out to one of our disaster recovery departments, and we had to restore those files. It cost her $1,399 to get her files back. And she cried as she wrote that check.
What would it have cost her if she had backed up the service roughly?
Roughly probably about $30 a month, you know. So, you know, we did the math and was like, you know.
4 years.
Yeah. 4 years.
So, John, when it comes to business owners and their technology, in an ideal world, you would love for them to sit down with you before they start their business to kind of develop a technology plan. But that doesn't happen.
It doesn't.
So when business owners call you, where do you start? What are some of the, you know, key areas that you're going to sit down in that first consultation and go over with a business owner?
Actually, we first come in and we find out what they have. And we actually have a program that we can actually put on one PC, and within 15 minutes, I can tell you every PC in the office. I can tell you every printer. I can tell you what, like, especially for the Dell and the Lenovo's, I can tell you the day you got the PC, and I can tell you when the warranty started and when it stopped. And then we look at forming a plan that says, all right, you got these devices. How are we going to manage them? We're going to make sure that you keep looking at inventory, because a lot of times people don't know what they have. I mean, we had a customer that we did a network analysis for, and we found this PC on the network, and they were like, no, we only have 5 PCs, and like, there's 6. And we found there was a PC in the print office that had been turned on, plugged in underneath the shelf, working, and nobody knew it, you know? And they were like, oh, that thing's still there? So, I mean, there's things that, you know, customers find out, you know, about their own business they just don't know. I mean, you know, printers. I think you talked about the company Faratech earlier. That's a great resource because of the fact that printing and ink is probably the most expensive thing ever. I mean, ink, if you quantify it, it's probably between $60 to $80 a gallon because, you know, in that little ink cartridge, you only get 1.5 milliliters of ink. You know, that stuff's expensive. And, you know, you got to come up with a good plan to actually buy your ink because, you know, you can't have, you know, Mike sitting in front of you getting ready to print a contract and then you hit print and you don't have any ink because he's not going to say, well, come back when I have ink. You know, you don't want that situation. So, you know, that's part of the planning as well. We try to convince the customer to get their first server, whether we make a PC a server or whether they go out and buy a server, because really we tell them that all their data should be stored on a server. I mean, because of the fact that that one PC, you know, is eliminated, blows up, catches on fire, whatever, all your data is backed up on the server. And that's what we back up the server so that, you know, in a disaster recovery type situation, you know, that server is backed up and I can move you from here to a hotel and get you back up within an hour and you can still operate.
If I'm a business owner right now, I think John has described every doomsday experience you could have. I'd be like on the phone as soon as this show's over.
So, John, I think sometimes when it comes to, because I don't know if you know this, there are some other IT companies out there. So I've heard. I think sometimes business owners, when they think of dealing with their IT, they think, I'm going to bring somebody in and they're just going to tell me what I have to do. And I just have to blindly follow them. It sounds like you're a little bit consultative in the idea of at least do this. If you want my best plan, here's what I really tell you to do. But at least can you be flexible with business owners that you're meeting with to kind of fit budgets and times? And
very flexible. I mean, and that's a part of the consultation. It's part of saying, how much you got to spend? I mean, and we'll work on seeing how much you got to spend and we'll quantify that. And in some cases, one of our customers, we gave them their first 3 months free because of the fact that they didn't have the amount of money to actually start the plan, but they were growing. They were in a growth stage and we wanted them as a customer because we saw that they'd be pretty big and they got pretty big. They went from 3 employees and in that time we took them on to that year, they became 18 employees. So they ended up being a great customer because of the fact they were on our plan. And I think the biggest thing I try to break it down to layman's terms. I mean, if I came into your office and said, well, really what you need to, you know, sync the cache in your PC and go in and look into your registry. And after you look into your registry, go ahead and do it with a virus scan. You know, people's eyes get glazed over and, you know, they start looking in another direction and like, huh. You know, we try to break it down in layman's terms and try to explain things to people in a way, you know, that they'll understand. You know, I always tell people networks are nothing different than the communities that Brian talked about. You know, your wireless router basically is that leasing office. You can't get in and out of the network or in and out of an apartment complex unless you go through that leasing office. And we break it down in little layman's terms so they understand it. So that in their call, they see us as not afraid to ask that question because no question is a bad question when you want to make sure your business is running.
Mike, you were talking about doomsday scenarios. Business owners have a doomsday scenario. If they're going to start using terms that I don't know and they're going to talk over my head and I don't get all that.
Yeah, exactly. Are there certain vertical markets or industries that you kind of specialize in that are kind of your niche markets?
We've kind of niched ourselves as property management experts because we do a lot of work with property management. Actually, me and Brian share a customer because of the fact we have Laurel Springs as one of our customers as well. I was over there 2 days ago because their internet's out right now. And we, you know, we had to formulate a plan for them, but we love property management because, you know, we started back in 2005. I mean, in 2008, we gained our first large customer called Mercy Housing, and we took on their entire Southeast. So we had to learn the ins and outs of a leasing office. And it was very interesting because of the fact that in a leasing office, it's not just computers and people coming in and signing leases. I mean, they have multiple systems. There are cameras in the office. There are printers and scanners. And, you know, we got into cameras because, you know, they had, you know, surveillance needs as well. So we have become really experts in that area. And we have a lot of customers that are property manager group, leasing office, single family type dwellings that, you know, we go in to make sure that their offices operate so they can actually sign those leases. Because, you know, my philosophy, and I tell everybody, that they're not signing a lease, they don't need me. Because of the fact that that means they're not having new residents come in, and those residents are not paying them, so they can't pay me. So I make sure that every time somebody walks in, they sit in front of a computer, they can actually get a lease filled out, get an apartment, and start paying rent. Because that, I mean, that rent is actually paying, you know, the fees that we charge our customers.
We're talking with John Moss, the president of Interactive Business Technologies here on Gwinnett Business Radio. You talked about explaining things in layman's terms. One of the questions I hear all the time, and I'm sure you get it all the time, is about this, these clouds, cloud technology. Explain that for the person that might not be familiar, because it's pretty prevalent these days.
It is. I mean, I laugh because of the fact that, you know, I started my career at AT&T. I mean, like, when you're drawing a network diagram on a board, if you go from two locations, say Atlanta to Michigan, and you have to illustrate how you get to those locations, in the middle, you draw a line. In the middle of that illustration, you draw a little squiggly line. It looks like a cloud. That's what started the cloud. It wasn't anything mystifying or anything. It was just the fact that the cloud is a network illustration for the internet. So anytime any data has to go out to the cloud or to the internet, that's the illustration. So what we illustrate to our customers is, you know, the cloud really is changing the way that technology is going. Because as you guys notice, AT&T and Comcast and T-Mobile and all the sites, everybody's talking about they're faster. Because, you know, with this cloud iteration, you know, you're starting to transmit your data not only in your office, you're keeping it in the cloud. So you're keeping it in a different location. A lot of customers have multi-locations. So, you know, you're not just sending small files like, you know, little Word documents. You're sending pictures and videos and all that kind of stuff. And if it's, you got slow internet, you got some DSL circuit that's just 5 megabytes, you're going to be waiting forever. So we're going to see with this cloud iteration, internet speed is getting really big. And then also we've noticed that Google's coming to town. You know, and that's scaring the heck out of a lot of these providers because of the fact that they're starting to put flyers in mailboxes, because they understand that with this cloud, you know, generation coming on, people need to be faster. I mean, we all have what I call technophobia. We sit in front of a microwave and we tap our feet. When, you know, years ago, you know, you cooked a Swanson dinner and it took 54 minutes. You sat down and waited. But, you know, we're in a hurry up and wait situation now. We want our technology to be fast. And we want, when you hit enter, we want something to happen. So, you know, I think, you know, a lot of people need to understand that the cloud is a great tool. It's a great tool to save stuff. It's a great tool to store your stuff out in the, you know, out in the cloud, out in the internet, so that you have quick access to it because of our smartphones.
And I'm sure, John, there are some people that have some concerns about security. When you put all your information in a cloud, we've heard the stories about breaches of security, but by and large, it's pretty secure. It's pretty safe. Or is that not the norm?
It's pretty safe. But when you choose a cloud provider, when you choose somebody that you say that, I want you to store my data, or I want you to have, you know, the data that I'm transmitting from off my office. You want to interview people and you want to ask them all the questions you can. How secure are you?
Sure.
And you want to hear buzzwords like, you know, we're PC compliant and ISO 9000 and that kind of stuff, because it tells you that they've taken the time to make sure that they're protecting your data, because you're right. I mean, with all the stuff that's happened over the couple of years, Target got hacked and some of the other people, that data is very valuable to a lot of people.
And doesn't that also come down to the consultation and you as trying to help with the service? Because it's not that they hacked the cloud, it's that they hacked where you sent it or how you were transmitting things, or people put, you know, send documents through email that they don't realize is encrypted or not encrypted, and they're sending. I mean, you talked about it, how you use your technology. I mean, it's are you sending something from your phone to the cloud server, but you didn't do it securely? I mean, that's where you kind of come in and go, learn how to use your technology. Let us show you processes and procedures for how to save and how to back up and how to do all that. I mean, is that?
Exactly. Because of the fact that you want to know providers. I tell people that if I walk in the office and, you know, and it's a big office and you're a certified company, but your email address says @yahoo@gmail, it's telling me that you haven't thought about, you know, how you're transmitting your emails. I mean, emails are not just words anymore. They're files and documents, and, you know, you're sending people's pictures and you're scanning stuff to get, you know, from one place to another. And you got to make sure that email is secure, because secure email is a lot of the ways that companies get in a lot of trouble, because of the fact that, you know, their Gmail account gets hacked and, you know, they had credit cards or stuff like that. They're liable.
And I'm sure you also have to deal with clients. So here's a very broad question, but I'm sure you've got clients who go, there is no way I'm sending my stuff out to the cloud. I want it on a backup, you know, in the office, or, you know, a server that I can hold, or, you know, I can look at and see tangible, I guess, would be some of that. And then also your business, you're constantly having to stay ahead. What's next after the cloud? what's going to be after that? Is it a rainbow that we're going to save? Where do we go from here is what you have to constantly stay on top of.
You're right. I mean, and we are curious in what's going to happen next. I mean, the cloud has been around for a while. Right now, we say it's not going to go anywhere because of the fact that we went from, you know, megabytes to gigabytes to terabytes. And I heard a term the other day, a petabyte, which is 1,000, you know, terabytes. So I'm like, you know, I haven't even filled up my 500 gigabyte computer. What are these people doing? And, you know, I think that a lot of customers need to be aware that that's what's happening. Now, I'm not against. I mean, if someone says, I want to keep my stuff here, I'm fine. I'm like, yeah, store it here. Get you a good, you know, backup drive. You know, so you have that warm and fuzzy. But you want to have a backup in the cloud. You want to have a backup of your backup because, you know, anytime you have a hard piece of equipment that either can be damaged, stolen, or, hey, if your building catches on fire, you're going to run into the building and grab this external hard drive and save that. You know, no, you're not going to want to do that. You're going to watch it burn. And you're going to hope that, you know, you got that data somewhere else.
Let me ask you a question. I was going to wait till after the show is over, but I'm going to go ahead and ask you on the air. I have my hard drives from my laptops and computers, desktop computers that I've, you know, were old and slow. So I gave them away, brought them, you know, to Best Buy or whatever for them to be recycled. But I kept the hard drive because I didn't want that information to get in the wrong hands. Obviously, there's a lot of information. Is there any way for me to get that information back out of the hard drive? Because I have the actual hard drives, but I don't have the computer.
He's really saying he has a stack of floppy disks, 5 1/4, that he's still got from his Commodore 64 computer.
You've been to my house,
1989.
Yes. But I actually have a hard drive from a desktop computer and a hard drive from my laptop. And I got a lot of photos on there I would love to be able to get, but it's like, can I even get to those now? Or am I just, I mean, I saved it from anybody else getting them, but can I actually get to them now?
Yes, there's a device called a desktop enclosure. I'll send you an email later. It's a very cheap and expensive device, about $25-$30. So you can take that hard drive and just drop it in that enclosure, and it turns that hard drive into a USB drive. Same thing you would do with a USB flash drive. You can just search through it. You can save it. And some of them actually have cloud capabilities where you push a button that says backup, and it backs it up to the cloud while you sleep.
John, you just made my day.
His Frogger record is safe.
Yes.
From his Atari 2600.
Now. Yes. Thank you, John. And he can save the day for all our listeners as well. Interactive Business Technologies, John, for companies that want to find out more, maybe look into your services, where can they get more information?
You can go out to our website, which is www.callibt.com. The first page is an elite sheet page that just says, fill out information, fill out anything you want to know. I mean, we're not looking always to sell. A lot of time, we just want to answer a question that someone has. We just want to be a trusted authority. So, you know, if you have a small question or a big question, just send it to us. We can also be reached at 678-833-5740. That number is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And someone's going to answer the phone no matter what and just leave a message. If it's an emergency, they actually call into one of our texts as well. So that's the two best ways to get in contact with me.
Okay, great. What an interview. We talked about old TV dinners. And then you brought up old video game Frogger.
That's right. And so, Commodore 64s. I'd love to know what kind of computer was hidden under that desk that he was talking about, because my thought was it's probably a Commodore 64 with a tape drive.
There you go. John, thanks again for joining us.
You're welcome.
Mike, before we get to our last guest, I want to tell you and all the listeners that Faratech, which John actually mentioned, is an authorized HP and Xerox dealer that also sells and services all leading brands of toner, printers, copiers, and computer hardware. Faratech has certified service technicians that provide on-site service and a delivery team that offers free local delivery and pickup 5 days a week. For more info, visit faratech.com. That's FARATECH.com. And I was recently out to Faratech. You've been out to Faratech. They love to give tours. Great facility. They'll definitely help you out.
Absolutely. Appreciate that very much. Thank you, Stephen. Now our third and final guest for the show, Stephanie Wolf, a certified health coach with the Whole Food Health Coach. That's the name of the company, the Whole Food Health Coach.
It is.
Welcome to the program, Stephanie. What does a certified health coach do? What does the Whole Food Health Coach do?
Wow. I educate people. And I got to tell you, Mike, I have gotten an education today. Thank you, both Brian and John. I love teaching people about eating real food, getting back to the basics. And so my certification is with Dr. William Sears, and he is 45 years as a pediatrician, so very well known. He's written over 45 different books, and you probably might know his son, Jim Sears, that's on The Doctors on TV. And I love my certification with him because he's back to basics just like me, you know, the grassroots, the way we eat. It really matters, everything we put in our mouth. And so I love to teach parents how to feed their kids. I know they're not eating enough vegetables, no matter where we hide those peas. And so I have lots of different ways to give them great recipes and help them to understand the value of those vegetables and what they're doing. I help people one-on-one and I do classes. And I love my one-on-one because then I can customize my program a little bit, depending on what the need is. And it could be anything from lowering cholesterol numbers or blood pressure or dealing with diabetes or people who are pre-diabetic. And that's kind of my thing. I'm trying very hard to be very preventative and helping people to prevent the diseases. I'm a 2-time cancer survivor. So I believe in cure, but I believe a whole lot more in prevention. And about 75 to 80% of what we deal with in illnesses and diseases, unfortunately, are preventable. So I'm all about prevention.
You may have just touched upon my next question, which is a lot of folks I know that are in your field, usually there's a personal story that got them to where they are. And I think you might have just touched upon it there, but what is it that led you to becoming a certified health coach?
Well, I've been what I call a student of nutrition for about 16 years since my second bout with cancer. I would say the first time you get that diagnosis, it'll get your attention. The second time will change your life. I kept saying I never wanted another parent to have to look at their kids again and say, I have cancer. And it's still, even though it was that long ago, it still makes me just a little, shaky. But I remember those days and I kept thinking, what is it that I don't know? I'm not saying I brought on the cancer myself or with my choices I did, but I also started thinking I need to take a little more ownership. And I think sometimes we, expect the world around us, or like John was talking about, the quick fix, I think that some people want right away. They're used to, well, I shouldn't be doing this, but I've got this pill, And we just get so used to those kind of things instead of really kind of owning it previous to that and really seeing what it is we can do to partner with our body. Our body's trying to stay alive. We ought to kind of partner with it.
I would think that's one of the challenges too, is a lot of folks won't make that change until something traumatic happens in their life.
Very true.
So a lot of times you may be just getting blue in the face, but until something actually happens personally, they may not make that change.
Our doctors that I work with, some will say the healthiest people that they know are the people who just had a heart attack. And because that's when it, will get your attention. But why does it take that? I always tell people, it's like, don't you just want to feel good just for the sake of feeling good and making great choices just because it feels good to make great choices? I mean, to me, I love my principles. I do a good, better, best scenario. And I love to help people go from bad to good, good to better, better to best. And I've done that myself over 16 years, really learning a lot more about what I put in my body and why it matters. And also about our kids, because I think that unfortunately, with the fast food generation and the convenience generation that we live in, they're the ones that are kind of getting the short end of the stick, if you will. My dad was a gardener. And so, I grew up going out and grabbing a tomato off the vine and eating it right off the vine. But our kids sometimes don't even know where their food is coming from. I have a cute little story. I hadn't thought about this, but I was talking to a teenager one time who was talking to me about French fries. And I said, well, I was trying to explain, the oils and different things that they use, and there might be a better choice and some things. And I said, if I do want a French fry every now and then, I will get the steak fries, the real thick ones. And he looked at me and said, what's in the middle of those? And I was just like, a potato? But what's interesting about that story is the fact that French fries, there's no word potato there. If a child is not really, in tune with what they're putting in their bodies like that, then they might ask those kind of questions. So I didn't really want to blame him or make fun of him, but it was shocking at the moment.
You haven't met my kid, have you?
No.
Okay.
Stephanie, I think sometimes when people, before they've had the heart attack, one of the reasons they might not go from not want to take some steps is it just seems so overwhelming. So where do you like to start with people? What are the first things you're going to cover when you first consult with someone?
That's a great question. And probably, I think there's so much misinformation out there these days that does make people feel very overwhelmed. And so one of the questions on my assessment form, I do free assessments with people just to kind of see if where they've been, where they are now, and where they want to go. And then, of course, making sure I'm the right person to get them there. And the thing, one of the questions that I ask them is, where do you get your nutritional information? And I laugh a lot of times, you know, internet is one of those things. And it, I mean, I go there too. I mean, you know, there's a lot of information out there. But if you don't know how you're weeding through that information to see really what's true and what's not true, or what the real research says behind it, not just a testimonial or some doctor that believes in it or whatever. But so that's what I do for my clients. You know, meeting with me helps them to find just one source to vet that information from. And then I pride myself into, you know, bringing it down to their level so they can understand. So I talk specifically about carbs, and I call it eating right carbs, not low carbs, and eating right fats, not low fats. What is omega-3? Why do you need unsaturated fats? Are saturated fats really that bad for you? Well, there's a lot to learn about it. And so I break it down one class at a time. I have a nutrition class that's a 2-hour course that they, my husband says it's like drinking from a fire hose to listen to me for 2 hours, you know, tell them 8 different topics. But so I really prefer the one-on-one where I spend an hour at a time with each client over 7 weeks so that I can make sure that they really understand so they take ownership. Because the problem I see is the confidence level, and you hit the nail on the head, is that they just don't have confidence in what they're choosing. They're hoping this works, or they're hoping that works, and but they don't really believe in it. And I teach them to believe in what they're doing and to know how to make those best choices on their own. But my program has a Coach in Your Corner program, and I'm real, you know, I should trademark that, but because now millions of people know it.
That's right.
But the Coach in Your program is really exciting because it helps people to connect with me 24/7. So they can text me, email me, or call me if they're in the grocery store or they're having a, you know, they've got their spoon and the gallon of ice cream sitting in there, you know, ready to go. So there's all kinds of ways that I help people, not just answering their questions, but also kind of holding their hand through the process until they get really own that process and make it their own.
She doesn't know your son, but she apparently has got a camera in my kitchen late at night.
I do pantry makeovers and creative cooking.
So, oh wow. Well, I want to dig just a little bit deeper into what you said. I'm going to grasp onto something you said. There is so many plans. There's so many books. This is an industry that all you got to do is, oh, you don't have to do any exercise. You don't have to do, all you got to do is have this pill. All you got to do is I know that you're not the only good one out there, but are the good ones the one that really, when you get to the bottom of it, when I sit through your nutritional program and when I've sat with you for 7 hours, I'll go, you know, it really is kind of common sense. I mean, it really makes a lot of sense.
Maybe.
Okay.
But what you don't know is hurting you.
Okay.
And a lot of people think they know what to do, and then they sit with me and they learn what they thought they knew. And it's my job to figure out what it is you know and what you need to know, what you don't know. And so I really believe that there's a lot of dabbling in this and dabbling in that and trying this and trying that. And if you don't really know what you're doing, you're not really in a lane that's working for you. And that's where I come in. I can point you in that direction, and I'll even put the, you know, one of those gutter rails, you know, down the bowling alley so you don't get in the gutter, because you can get off the road on the right side just like you can on the left. And so the goal is really, you know, owning that 80% of what you can change. There's still that 20%. I mean, I have made really great healthy choices. In fact, I'm an inside tracker, which is something that Dr. Sears started. He actually chose 5 of us health coaches and ones that were really working it, and like I do. I'm a full-time at this, so... he chose 5 of us, and he sent us to a place where you get blood drawn, and they actually draw like 6 or 8 vials of blood. I was like, am I going to have any left? But they took it, and they look at 31 different biomarkers, and this is not the kind of blood work you get, you know, just with your regular physicals. And they wanted us, or Dr. Sears wanted us, to give our opinion of this inside track. And so they did these tests on me, and they have a program in that testing that gives you your inner age. And I, when I took the test, I was 57.1 years old, but my inner age was 44.5. So you can change your biomarkers. You really can do some things in your body with food that you would never realize that you actually had that kind of control. So I love what I do. I love seeing the change that it offers people. And I love the ripple effect where the parents really gain ownership and they teach their kids. And then it just goes on from generation to generation.
Stephanie Wolf is the Whole Food Health Coach. Not only does she have a camera in Stephen's kitchen, but she's seen me bowl as well. For our business listeners out there, how can you serve the business community?
You know, I love serving the business community. And the reason I do is because they're so stressed. Most business owners, or especially owners, really carry much weight.
Why did everybody in the room look at each other and go, yeah.
I saw those heads.
Did you hear the amen? I heard a loud amen.
I'm sure the audience is nodding as well, because I really know how much responsibility they carry. And there's a lot of stress with that. And there's a lot of late nights, and there's a lot of fast food or fast choices that they have to make, or non-eating, where they go for hours without eating. It's so bad for your insulin. Please don't do that. But the goal is understanding that your body has hormones, and stress hormones are really fighting our body on a regular basis. And so as cortisol is raised in your body, it is very hard on yourself. Like I said earlier, your body tries hard to stay alive. And, there's times where I think if our body could talk to us, it might say, whose side are you on? Because we think everything is going to rise or fall on us being there, on us doing this, and on us, making everybody happy. And sometimes we do that to the detriment of our body or to the detriment of our families, because our families need us. And so business owners, your business needs you, but you need you to be around. It's kind of like the airplane, put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you can help anybody else. And when we don't feel good, like I teach this program to corporations, I call it workplace wellness. And I can come in, I can do a lunch and learn, I can spend an hour at lunch, once a week or for 5 days or a weekend, or you can do it as a benefit to your employees, which is great. And hopefully you as the owner will be there so you can hear some of these things and really put them into practice, because there's a lot of fun things that I do when I bring my lunch and learns and help people to really kind of take ownership. And I always say I create recipes and foods that your body will love as much as you love. And so I'm no rice cakes on my watch.
They say a happy employee is a productive employee. A healthy employee is also a productive employee.
That's right.
Why don't you go ahead and give us all the contact information, websites, anything you want to share with our listening audience. While you're doing that, Brian and myself are going to grab the candy jar in the middle of a table and kind of hide that from your view.
I know there's always a candy jar everywhere. Well, I am the Whole Food Health Coach, but you can go to www.wholefoodhealthcoach.com. No the, just wholefoodhealthcoach.com. You can call me at 770-846-3515, or you can email me Stephanie, Stephanie, at wholefoodhealthcoach.com. No yahoo.com or gmail.com, John. But I have a class coming up, a nutrition class, if you feel like drinking from a fire hose on nutrition. It is March the 5th. It is at 2 p.m. at the Epic Family Life Center in Duluth, Georgia. And I am available for one-on-one consults at any time.
Great. Stephanie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
All right. Stephanie Wolf, the Certified Health Coach with the Whole Food Health Coach. Also, a big thank you to our other guests here in the studio, John Moss with Interactive Business Technologies, Brian McClellan, affectionately known as BAM, with N2 Publishing. Subaru over Gwinnett Studios, that's where we are. And a reminder, want to remind you where you are, Stephen. A reminder, you can enjoy the program or any of our other programs anytime, day or night, 24/7, by going to GwinnettBusinessRadioX.com. All of the shows are also on iTunes. You can listen to them there or download them there. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook at Gwinnett Radio X. We've got our new YouTube channel. You can watch a lot of our programs on our YouTube channel as well. Stephen, any parting words?
I love it. In this show today, we learned how to make a better community with a great newsletter magazine. We learned to improve our technology, improve our health. Nobody helped us improve our comedy, though, Mike. We'll have to keep searching for that.
We were lacking today on the comedy.
Sorely lacking, as usual.
Yeah, good point.
Thanks.
All right, Stephen, appreciate everything. Also, our producers, Trey and Z. For everybody involved, I'm Mike Salmon, and we will see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.
We need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Faratech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Faratech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Faratech.com.